Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands. All right, so we had a bit of a technical glitch. We're a couple minutes late. Hopefully everybody is going to be watching and enjoying this show today. It's going to be really great. I'm not sure. Josh is just running a little bit late, but on today's show, we're going to be talking to the owner of CVO Acceleration, Josh Marsden, and he will be talking about scaling your business quickly to 7 to 8 figures using the ARM5 formula. So we'll be talking to him in detail about that. Also, and Kelsey, you might as well come on.
Okay. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
So I was just about to say we're broadcasting to you live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you're watching a replay, you can just skip ahead. If you're on our profile page or my profile page, why don't you head over to our fan page and check out the whole episodes, highlights, videos, all that good stuff. Now, what are you going to say, Kelsey? I know what you're going to say.
Right,
smashing things. And
that's right. So smash that like button if you haven't already. I see we just got a like right there. Awesome. Thank you, Rad, Marina, Marsha, Renee. They're all joining us
back
today. So welcome. Go ahead and put where you're watching from in the comments section.
And who's from sunny Arizona?
I believe that's Marsha.
Oh, Marsha.
Marsha is from Arizona. Yeah, so I actually have one thing I'd want to talk about to the Lunch with Norm community, the Beer Nation. Hello, Atif. Welcome. And Mark. So this is going to be a little different. If you are in the group, you may have noticed that I made a little video about writing a review for us. So right now we want to build up that social proof. So if you guys...
What are you doing, Kelsey?
Take 2 minutes, press on the link. It's in all the bios for today's episode. If you go to this link, you can write us a review. Hopefully 5 stars, please.
he'll go on his hands and knees.
Please. But yeah, that would be amazing if you guys can do that. It takes 2 minutes. If you don't know how to do it, if you go to the group, I've pinned a comment explaining exactly how to do it, all the instructions you need. And welcome, Stephanie.
Yeah, hello. Welcome, Stephanie.
Nice to see you. I think you're a new face, so welcome. Yeah, and then if you haven't already, just join our Facebook group too. It's Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and E-Commerce Collective. Yeah, so I think that's it.
Okay. Has Josh come?
Not yet. He'll be here shortly.
So this is what I've always feared. But we're not going to go into the fetal position. So why don't we do this? We can either talk about a few different things, what's happening with Amazon, what are the trends for 2021, or we could talk about maybe some influencers or whatever you like. Is there anybody that has any questions about what's going on right now with the craziness of Amazon? Some of the things that we've seen and you might want to check out. I think it was actually one of our guests that came up and said that in Europe that people are getting suspended right now for they're getting that email. You all have seen the email where Amazon just very generically says you're suspended or suppressed or whatever. They came back and they said that check out. Oh, it was Yana. So check out if your HTML, if you have HTML codes. Now, the basic HTML code, I don't know if that's going to affect it, but if you're doing anything HTML, remove the code. And within either a few minutes up to a day, you'll see your listing come back. The other thing that is affecting a lot of Amazon right now are these uppercase characters in your bullets. Now, we've had lots of people ask us to say, oh, well, you know, I see 1,000 other people doing it. Everybody in my brand's doing it. You know, why should I stop? Because right now, even like we've got till January 15th to maximize all the sales that are coming through right now, primarily through gift cards. There's a lot of additional people buying right now through their Christmas or holiday gift cards that they've received. So you don't want to go down. You don't want to lose sales for a few days because of your bullets. This is real. They are coming. I don't know why, but they are taking a stronger approach to this, and people have been suspended, not suppressed, suspended. And again, you got to try to figure out what you did. Well, just check out to see whether it's your uppercase, uppercase in your bullets. And can you put it? Other people have asked me, okay, a lot of people put it up front. Can you bury it somewhere? Can you put it in your titles? Nope. The easiest thing to do is go and find Amazon Style Guide and just check to see if it's allowed or not. This is what we're going to be focusing a lot on with not only my clients, but also just our own brands. As who was it that came on? It was Colin Campbell, I think, that came on and said that, you know, you when you're selling a product, just old school marketing works. And by old school marketing, I'm talking about the images. We've talked plenty about images. What's the quality of the images compared to your competitors? Now, I'll hear people say, oh, well, you know, I'll put the packaging on, I'll do this, I'll put a human in there, I'll put my dog in there, I'll not have it on a gray white background because you want to stand out. My competitors are doing it. Same answer. Yeah, that's great. Go ahead. It's your risk reward. You know, I don't want to wake up one day and have my listing suspended or suppressed because of that. Now, with images so far, I haven't seen anybody get suspended over an image. It's always just a suppression. Anyways, are there any questions that have come in so far?
Yes. So Tony just wanted to add to that, hey guys, I would also add removing all the emojis from the bulletin points as well.
Oh, you nailed it. There's right now, if you're looking and if you're, you know, checking it out, maybe you haven't taken a course, or maybe in the course, they say, hey, to get people's attention, add all uppercase, add emojis, lightning strikes, dollar signs. Look at the style guides. That's all I'm saying. Is it worth the risk reward? It's not. And you know what? It's bloody annoying. These long 500 word or 550 character bullet points, they're annoying. They used to be because you could keyword stuff. You know, it would be great. You put as much information as you want. Most the stats are the majority of people source their product pre-purchase. They source their product on their mobile. Who wants to continue to scroll or read all that crap on your mobile phone? With a purchase is done, the high majority of purchases are done on your desktop still. So what you're trying to do is make your products mobile friendly. And I don't know if Victor's on, but I think he was the one that brought that to my attention months ago, just optimizing your images for mobile rather than for desktop, because that's where the sourcing is done.
Is a check mark considered an emoji? I believe.
I wouldn't put anything that. Text. Yeah.
Okay. Marina has a little question. I got an unusual request from someone to buy rights to one of my product images for a book. I have no idea how to reply. I don't sell this product anymore, but my children are in the image. Any advice? Can I get rich from selling this image?
I don't know what the product is, Marina, but one thing to keep in mind, when you're talking about your kids or your children, do you want that image out there? If you're okay with that, then that's fine. I know, you know, lots of people use Facebook and they have their kids' images everywhere, but you just want to make sure you're okay with that. And will you get rich? No, I don't think, unless it's really, you know, one incredible images with, you know, maybe Madonna in the background. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, you can sell off an image. If it's a product that you're not selling anymore and the person actually approached you on this, that's pretty cool. You could probably make a bit of money with that. I'm not a lawyer. And I want to throw that in there as the disclaimer. You may want to talk to people like Rich Goldstein or his staff or Yale Kelly, just to get their view on, selling an image and copyrights and transfer of copyright and stuff like that.
Okay. So Josh is here.
Oh, great.
But just to add to that, if you're joining now, we are looking to get a bunch of reviews for our website or for the podcast. So
you're still on that.
So if you write us a review, we're going to go check them and we'll read them on the air too, as well, to just kind of show you guys, give a little spotlight to the people helping us out. So yeah, we really appreciate it. The links are in the bios and everything. And let's get right to it. And welcome, Josh.
You're muted. Still muted.
Still muted?
Oh,
still?
No, now you're there. There.
Okay. Good, good, good. How you doing?
Well, up until about 3 seconds ago, I was in the corner, in the fetal position, just broadcasting. But I'm good now. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I apologize for being a few minutes late. I had a very important meeting that went over right before this, so I apologize.
Hey, no problem at all. You know what? We talk about adapting and learning, entrepreneurs having to do something on a dime. This is something that if we were on a podcast at the very beginning, I literally would have a heart attack. I would be shaking so much right now. But you know what's really cool is you adapt, you learn, and hey, look, if somebody's late, things happen. They might be on a sales call. They might be stuck in traffic. You have to adapt. And that's something that you could bring out in your Amazon listings. What happens if your Amazon's listing gets suspended? Do you have a plan, a risk evaluation plan, where you can put it into effect? Anyways, I just wanted to throw that out there because, we were able to touch on a few other subjects. There's a couple of questions that we will be answering as well about what we were talking about just before you came on. But let's talk about you, who you are, and a little bit of your background.
Sounds good. I'll tell my story. So I started in entrepreneurship and digital marketing basically in late 2012. I was let go of a very big software company in the small business space called Infusionsoft. Very disappointed back in late 2012 that happened. I was 108% to quota the entire year in my sales position. I took a kind of a big risk, you could say, kind of going to that company. Because in my previous career, I was very stable. I was a manager at a Fortune 500 company, and I had won various awards, and I'd done well for myself. I really, really built like a strong reputation for myself in that career, and I'd been there for so long as well. But I switched, I took the gamble, went over to Infusionsoft, and then I was let go. And when I was let go, after a little bit less than a year, while I was at Infusionsoft, I was talking to small business owners. I was hearing their stories, what they're doing, and it just inspired me, and also helped me see the opportunities that were out there. And then also on top of that, I was also building relationships with some of the Infusionsoft partners as well, because half of my job was cultivating those relationships, in addition to cultivating relationships with small businesses as well that would gain from using Infusionsoft. And just hearing both those stories really put in seeds in my head that I could do a lot of what I'm hearing. And so after I was let go of Infusionsoft, I went ahead and started doing some freelance work right away. And this was my first time making money on my own, essentially, not depending on a corporation or a company. And I made a little bit of money. I didn't make a lot, but I made a little bit of money the first 30 days after that event happened. But I had job offers from a few different jobs. And there was one job that I did end up taking about a month or so after I was let go of Infusionsoft. And when I started at that job, I told them up front that I'm a single dad. I've got a 3-year-old son. He goes to preschool. I need to pick him up at 5:30, 1 to 3 days a week. And they gave me a little bit of a hard time about that. And they basically said that they didn't think that was going to fly. They were going to talk to upper management. And then I kind of strung along that a little bit just to buy myself some time. So this way I could really figure out what the heck I was going to do, you know, because it sounded like this wasn't a good fit for me, but it was also giving me stability because it was a good position that had a good salary and a good upside too, since it was a sales job too. But at the same time, you know, I didn't want to sacrifice being a father and missing out on time with my son by working 12 hours a day, 5 days a week for some company as well. And so I kind of weighed the two out. And then finally they gave me an ultimatum about 3 weeks into it and said I had to make a choice. And so over the weekend, I made that choice. And then I texted him or called him. I can't remember what it was. Late that weekend after they gave me that ultimatum, and I told him that it wasn't going to work out, you know, and that was when I made that mental shift to I'm going to dive into really starting a business and really putting all of my attention, my effort, my focus, my energy into building a business. And that was early 2013. Since then, you know, I've been able to grow quite a bit as a business owner and also a marketer. I've been very privileged to link up with some really influential, smart business owners that have taught me a lot over the years. For example, in late 2014, I was one of the first digital marketer certified partners, one of the first 12. So I got to spend a lot of intimate time with Ryan Dice and Roland Frazier and also Richard Lindner. And they were instrumental in my journey, especially early on in those early stages. And then, you know, since then, I also worked with Ryan Levesque and his highest level mastermind for a year as well, and learned a lot from him. And, you know, that was a very awesome time, you know, just to learn from him and how he thinks and about business, about marketing, and also just his ask method methodology. And, you know, I was a practitioner of that, you know, greatly back in 2015-16. And since then, I still do implement some of that stuff as well with my company. And then also, you know, since then, you know, I've been able to publish a few books. You know, I was able to publish Facebook Advertising, Trends and Strategies for E-Commerce, 2019, and then 2020 right here, which made number one in 11 international markets on day one of release in June of this year. So that's a little bit about myself. Now what I do is I help e-commerce companies scale to 7-8 figures using my ARM5 formula, which is essentially a blueprint that I've identified through my work in my agency over the last several years. And I've been able to figure out like what e-commerce businesses need to do in order to be able to prepare themselves for the max success when it comes to running paid advertising, whether it's Facebook or whether it's Google or any others out there. So that's what I do now.
Just a couple things, huh? Yeah, oh, sure. You can't hear me. Yeah, just a couple of things. I said you, like, you're not busy.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, hey, okay. Let's talk a little bit about ARM5. I'm curious. Yep. So, can you give us the details on that?
Yeah, of course. So in some of our biggest successes, we kind of saw like there being some common like traits in our strategy, in our process, in our approach, and those common traits were building authority, really generating reciprocity, really having a strong, consistent effort to monetize. And so out of that, you know, I created the ARM5 formula, which is authority, reciprocity, monetization, the five profit amplifiers. And, you know, it just came down to really seeing like what works when it comes to Facebook ads and Google ads, especially Facebook, and as you scale as well. In order to be able to see like the best possible ROAS, you really have to have like a lot of these pieces in place. Otherwise, you're stuck around 1.52 as you scale. But if you want to get higher ROAS results, you have to have all these different systems in place, which we've identified 9 key systems in the ARM5 formula. And that's what we help companies implement, both in my coaching business and also in my agency business as well.
Very good. So let's talk a little bit about the Amazon or e-commerce sellers. So you've got a lot of people on that are here are Amazon sellers.
Okay.
Very worried about e-com. So switching over to the Shopify store. Colin Campbell was on on Monday, and he was talking about he pretty much only does e-com stores, and he's got high eight-figure businesses through just e-com. We had Brenda on, Brenda Ruby, you know, the 9-figure business, you know, that was incredible. There's a lot of people that hear a lot of gurus, so-called gurus, say stick to Amazon and only Amazon. What are your thoughts on that?
So I don't think it's necessarily safe to stick to Amazon. I mean, there's pluses and minuses. Like, for one, you know, focusing on one channel and getting that channel performing at a high level, there's definitely lots of intelligence in that when it comes to being efficient and focused. However, when you're on one platform like Amazon, there are risks. You know, Amazon could change your algorithm. There could be competition that comes into the market. You know, there's definitely risk versus if you were to own your own, you know, your own foundation by having a direct to consumer brand in addition to your Amazon store. I feel like that is like the best approach, because Amazon will actually support your direct to consumer brand. Plus, your direct to consumer brand has a lot of potential ROI that it can yield for you as a business owner if you were to scale it up and then sell it. You know, it's a very sellable asset, more so than an Amazon store. So I feel like that if you're going to do an e-commerce store on Amazon, that you definitely need to build up your own brand as well outside of Amazon and not just focus solely on Amazon.
Very good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about scaling up. What can people do? Let's just say across the board, what can people do to get to that 7-8-figure income?
Well, that's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question. Just generic, very generic.
But, you know, honestly, I mean, the key to getting just to 7 figures is keeping it simple, really. And that's just having like one really, really good funnel and really honing in on that one funnel. And when I say funnel, you know, I'm talking about ads. I'm talking about actually having like a direct response funnel that's outside of your website that you're using to acquire customers. If you once you figure out what the best audience is, what the best message is, what the best offer is, and you really hone in on that, and then you optimize conversions across the board, you know, that's where you can scale up to 7 figures. And then getting it to 8 figures takes a bit more, but getting an e-com brand to 7 figures, that's really all it takes, is just really focusing on just having a really good customer acquisition marketing system to be able to scale your customer acquisition up to that 7-figure mark.
Can the average Amazon seller cross the chasm and get to 8 figures by themselves?
Like on Amazon only or on
let's say e-com seller, regardless, Amazon or on Shopify, I know it's very easy to take a business and get $1 million in sales. Crossing the chasm requires a bunch of extra effort. Can the average person do that by listening to these types of podcasts or just going out taking courses, or do they need some form of coaching?
Gotcha. Well, you know, I think that it doesn't matter whether you're a 6-figure business owner, 7-figure business owner, or even 8-figure business owner, you need a coach. I mean, I've had coaches most of my entrepreneur journey, you know, over the last nearly 8 years now. So, I mean, you need someone that can see through the BS, can give you the tough love communication you need to hear sometimes, can give you the support, the soft love communication you need from time to time as well. And also someone that really knows how to get to whatever goal you're trying to get to, whether it's 7 or 8 or 9 figures. You know, I feel like everybody definitely needs like a coach. Absolutely. And to answer your question directly, I definitely feel like that anybody can scale a business to 8+ figures, but you know, and that's not just because people can really focus on business and accomplish whatever they want. I just am very much of the mindset that there are no limits, that the limits are only something that you tell yourself, and that anybody can accomplish anything if they just put their mind to it. And so if someone says, I'm going to build an 8-figure business, and they really commit to it and they really focus in on that, and all their efforts, all their decisions are focused in on that, then absolutely, it can definitely happen.
Okay. Josh, 1 second. Coffee time.
Sounds good to me.
It has to happen. I got to have my Kona. There we go.
I wish mine was still warm. Mine's cold now.
Mine's hot now.
I need to get one of those warmers, you know? Like, I know in the Apple store, they sell those warmers that you could put your coffee mug on. So this way it warms up your coffee. I really need to get one of those.
Well, we'll brand it with Lunch with Norm. How's that?
Hey, you know, that's huge. That would be really good swag that people would buy into. Hands
there
down.
We go. And by the way, we do have Lunch with Norm merchandise on the website. Not that I'm saying anything here.
So you direct a consumer brand.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so again, this is a really tough topic. Without knowing the brand, without knowing the competition, the price, the search volume, it's hard to talk about scaling. But if we just took this as a very broad subject and said, we've got a bunch of people that are listening, what can we do to help scale our business right now?
Well,
you did say the funnel. I understand that.
Yeah. Because like, if you don't have that in place yet, that's all you need to focus on. Just focus on that. Keep it simple and just focus on that. If you have that already in place, then you just need to keep scaling it. You just need to find those little hinges that swing big doors in that specific system, whether it's getting better performance out of your ads, whether it's scaling up, your ad account using scaling techniques, or whether it's optimizing conversions, in your funnel. But that's where the work lies in order to get up to that 7+ figures a year in your e-com brand.
Right. One of the things that we do to try to help our VAs or our contractors is we train them. So they're expected once a day or over a period of 5 days, put in 5 hours worth of training. And so for us, you mentioned a digital marketer. What an incredible program that you can have. They can select whatever they want. We're paying for everything. And then that's one way. If you can have your team become experts in different areas and then provide and not be afraid of getting screamed at, but you have these, we have our 5 strengths, 5 weaknesses and successes for the week. And how can that be applied to better the company? These are all things, these are little bunts that you can do to really grow your company. And I don't know if you've implemented that, but my next question is what do you think about signing up? It sounds a little expensive when you go to a company like Digital Marketer. You can find these places, Social Media Examiner, for example. That's another one you subscribe to. But would you do something like that? Is that something that you believe in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, back in, I think it was either late 2013 or early 2014, after I had been an entrepreneur and owning my own agency and basically doing everything in my agency, sales, fulfillment, you name it. I really, really started to hone in on what I wanted to focus on. Because at first, I was an Infusionsoft, specialist, essentially. I was helping companies automate, but I was also helping them implement marketing. But I was doing both. I wasn't just doing marketing. I was also helping them automate. And sometimes, a company would come to me back then and they'd tell me some crazy process or crazy system that they wanted to have built into their business using Infusionsoft. And I would have to problem solve and think through it and really figure it out. And then I would have to build it myself, So it was a different, set of muscles. What I loved though, was I loved the marketing stuff I was doing back then. Like I loved being able to see results coming in for clients. And that's what gave me the most excitement at that point in my journey. And I think that just in introspective, I feel like that the reason why I had such a excitement, such a passion for that was because I've always been in some sort of performance-based occupation my entire life, usually sales, and I've also been an athlete as well. So I really love generating results. And so when I saw that, I was like, that's the direction I want to go in. I don't want to automate businesses. That's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is I'm interested in helping companies get results. And so that led me into really working on myself as a marketer and picking up books by Dan Kennedy and, going to resources online, reading blogs, listening to podcasts. And I don't know where I somehow got targeted, but Digital Marketer somehow found me. And so I came into their funnel and I signed up into, you know, their base level lab at that point in time. This was late 2013 to early 2014. And, you know, I just dove into it. I mean, and, you know, I 100%, 110% believe that if anybody wants to get better at marketing, that is an incredible resource to really tap into. And it's totally worth every single penny. I mean, I can't tell you like how much that's changed like my life. That's changed my business success, that one first domino, because if I didn't take that, then I wouldn't have gotten better at marketing. I wouldn't have become a certified partner with Digital Marketer. I wouldn't have built all these relationships that I've built since then. That was that from that first domino, like none of that would have happened. And nowadays, like if someone were to go and join, you know, Digital Marketer Lab, now it's a much more sophisticated program. So it's even better. They've got all sorts of, you know, different, you know, courses, execution plans, guides, templates, you name it, in their back end. And their community is also much larger too, which is great as an entrepreneur, since entrepreneurship is a lonely, lonely path unless you take it upon yourself to actually network and reach out and create relationships with other people. And that is a shortcut to doing so.
Yeah, we don't accept any affiliate fees on the podcast, or we're not getting any discounts. So when we're talking about, you know, Digital Marketer, you know, we're not promoting it. However, check it out. You can get into, I'm not sure what the lowest is, but you can get into these labs that you can get individual labs that you can just get them one-offs. But for $95 a month, you can get some incredible training, really incredible training, and the templates that you were just talking about. So not only does it allow you, for example, blog writing and copywriting. So we had my son take a look at it. Not Kelsey, but Hayden went on and he checked it out, and it was just, it's tremendous help for $95. Like it's crazy. So, you know, and you can also go to learn.linkedin.com. So that used to be Linda. There's all the Udemy's out there. Learn, LRN. I think this is the other one. There's all sorts of them. But you can go out, find incredible tutorials that gives you a bit of information. Now, the other thing, like for me, I don't know about you, but when I get involved in a business and I'm looking to either invest or go forward with one, it's got to have a couple things. It's got to have, well, great people. It's got to be automated and scalable. And I love if it has a recurring model. So if it's soap, if it's candles, if it's whatever it is, I love recurring income. But if I can't turn that, and if I can't get that, let's say the sales are 50 grand. If I'm trying to get those sales up to 100,000, there are going to be some hurdles. And unless you start thinking about it right now, and again, the book that changed my life, which led to going to their academy, was Michael Gerber's The E-Myth, which taught me about systemization and how to implement them into my businesses. And people will ask, you know, how do you have these multiple different things on the go? It's all based on that book. It's just based on that, you know, simple book.
It's a good book.
Yeah, it's a good book. And the Academy was even much better. But again, that's investing time, right? Investing money and investing time. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that. So they'll just sit there and just, what do they call it when a storm just circles over and doesn't move on? Anyways, you know what I mean. But any other things that you look forward to? So I've told you a little bit about what I'm looking at. What else would you look at a business? Oh, one person said here, I just saw the niches. What type of niches do you think are going to explode over the next year?
That's a good question. You know, I think that the first one that really comes to mind is the cannabis CBD, you know, sector. I think that will definitely explode, especially with legalization now about to really take place in the United States, you know, over the next 12 months. And besides that, I mean, I think that some of the standard kind of, you know, markets, niches that have done well traditionally, like beauty, health, that's always going to be strong. And I don't see that changing at all whatsoever. e-commerce, you know, obviously in 2020, the pandemic, which has not been positive overall, but for e-commerce, it has been. E-commerce has been booming. I can't remember the exact statistic, but the adoption rate of e-commerce has leaped like 3 to 5 years, I believe it was, into the future because of what's happened in 2020. So now e-commerce is even more robust, you know, versus the way it was a year ago in 2019. So I feel like that's going to continue as well in 2021. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, besides that, you know, I think that, you know, I think we're moving more towards a peer-to-peer economy more and more. You know, you've got, you know, more e-commerce businesses obviously going live. And when I say e-commerce, not just physical products, but also digital info products as well. I think those are going to continue to grow. People buy from people. And also on top of that, you know, you have cryptocurrency growing, and that's only going to continue, in my opinion, as well, with the main cryptocurrencies, not, you know, the smaller ones. And I think that's just showing like that society itself is just moving more towards a peer-to-peer economy, not a big business to consumer economy. I think that that's going to be less and less and less, especially with the growth of small business and the growth of e-commerce.
I was talking to a group the other day, and a lady came on and she was talking about a platform that doesn't normally come up and how she just killed it on this platform. And that's Etsy. So,
yep.
You know, you talk about your peer-to-peer and your, you know, it used to be all personalized, your handmade stuff. Now you can sell on that platform and you don't have to have handmade products. And she was making a pretty good living off of Etsy. And the other one, I know Victor is going to say, oh, he's talking about this again, but eBay for, I thought eBay, I was on it. I was part of it years ago. I got off of it. It sucked. And then, I went to their head office and their business development guy, was talking to a group of us, and it was like my mouth dropped. And we ended up taking three products that were hazmat, like just dead, on Amazon three times, put it over on eBay, and turned those three into $150,000 a month product. So not bad sales.
Nice. Yeah, that's really good.
You know, obviously. And you know, again, the part of this podcast is about the rise of the micro brands, and mm-hmm. that's that peer-to-peer. You said, this was interesting. I'm sitting back listening to your intro, and you were talking about, oh, in 2016, I did this. 2016, you were able to go in, become an expert, and now be like one of the top e-commerce people out there. We're talking 2016. And in between that, you know, building up your career, I mean, this is the only business in the world. And I do not promote get rich quick. This is a hard business. But if you study it and you know, we talk about crossing that chasm, if you can understand that and just put all these things into place, have a strategy, you can't do that with any other business like this for no money, really no money, except for maybe a little bit of cash flow for inventory and a bit of marketing. But this is what I love about this business. And this is really why I also wanted you on, because of what you've been able to do with your career over a very short period of time. Like 2006, it's nothing, you know, 4 years ago. Yeah. I know that you've had tons of experience prior to that too. It wasn't like you just walked into it.
Well, no, you bring up a strong point, you know, because, you know, in business, in my opinion, you know, you constantly evolve, you're constantly pivoting. And, you know, I pivoted a number of times since 2013 when I really got started. And it was about, you know, going into 2017 when I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on e-commerce. Because prior to that, I was working with all sorts of different companies. Like I used to tell people on the phone when I connected with them and they were talking to me about doing business with me, I used to tell them that I'm a vertical agnostic, where I, meaning that I can help just about anybody because I know the process of building a marketing strategy and I know how to implement it as well, you know, with my company and my system and my processes and my team. So, I mean, since 2016, I've really made like a concentrated effort to really focus on e-commerce. And I appreciate you saying that. You know, I've definitely put lots of long hours, lots of hard work into, you know, getting to where I'm at right now. And I'm not, you know, I'm not done either. I've got a lot ahead of me as well.
I'm sure you do. Hey, Kels, I'm pretty sure there's a few questions in here.
Yeah, we sure do. Let me just get started. Really,
by the way, like I haven't used StreamYard before, but the fact that we just cut in your son, you know, like that, and there's like three people here, it's incredible, you know. I'm just amazed by technology.
Oh yeah, and it's just continuing, especially streaming platforms, they're continuing to get better all the time.
Yeah, nice.
All right, so our question from Rad, do you sell your product through social media or brand influencers, and how do you acquire your customers?
Okay, that's a good question. So yeah, definitely social media ads or PPC ads. It just depends on the market that you're going after with your product. So you have to do a decent amount of research on the product and on the market and on the competitors in that market as well to really come up with the right plan and to really identify what's the best direction to initially go into. Should you focus on, you know, social media and social media ads, or should you focus on PPC like Google, Bing, et cetera, because, you know, there's products and markets are found on different places and have different degrees of traction between like different platforms out there. As far as like influencers, you know, influencers are definitely a good channel to go into, but they're very hit or miss. They're very like risky in some ways, you know. So I always recommend to companies that they really focus more so on paid advertising first and foremost, because in my opinion, paid advertising is like the number one traffic channel to focus on initially in a business. If you have the resources, if you don't, then obviously, you know, you have to focus on stuff that you can put your time into instead of money into. But, you know, it doesn't take a lot to start with paid advertising and to get that traction with paid advertising. And it is the number one traffic source out there when it comes to control. Versus organic or just social media or influencers, pay traffic. You pay for how much traffic you get, and you could turn the dial and get even more if you want to when you're ready, when your numbers are working out. So I definitely recommend like using social media ads or PPC ads, depending on what you're trying to sell and where your market's at.
All right.
Let's see. Ooh, another one. This is from Sajad. Will it be a wise decision to move towards Walmart in the year 2021?
I don't know if that's the best question for me, just because I don't really focus on Walmart or Amazon. Norm probably could answer this better than me, but I do feel like it, just based on the trends, you know, over the last year, Walmart's really made big strides in being a viable competitor to Amazon. Amazon's still the king, but Walmart's definitely making like a name for themselves when it comes to e-commerce.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what type of market share they have or grab this year. That's just enough. Hey, I don't want to be a one-legged stool. So if you can get into a Walmart play, or if you can go into Etsy, or if you can go into all these others, or just have a Shopify store, hey, look, it's better than being one-legged.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, and we have one more question. This is more of a statement, but I think we can spin a question out of this from Dawan. Mm-hmm. I made a mistake on scaling too fast. I grew my brand too fast with new products, ran into inventory problems, low IPI score due to out of stock rates, low cash, finally crawling out and keeping up. So I think, are there any mistakes when you're scaling to look out for, especially if this is your first time doing it?
Yeah, first off, that's definitely unfortunate, you know, Darwin. Hopefully I said that right, you know, because it looks like, you know, you really did a great job of getting that traction, but then operationally, you weren't able to predict where your business would be once you got to a certain point with your sales. You know, I would say, you know, I'm not an operations guy. I'm more of a marketer and a sales guy. However, you know, I think that when it comes to being able to prevent that from happening and prevent that from being a challenge and a problem in a business, you know, you just have to constantly be making projections on ad spend, traffic, number of sales, based on predictability, based on your numbers in your e-commerce business. And then obviously looking at your inventory flow as well to make sure that you have the inventory at all times that correlates with your prediction when it comes to your sales. Because once you do have some traction, you have numbers and you can project where your sales is going to be, you know, 2 weeks, 30 days, et cetera, out. So this way you can make sure you have the inventory in place. You know, so I mean, yeah, it's a very delicate process. You know, it gets exciting when things are working and you want to scale, and then you do apply some scaling techniques, and all of a sudden you see a massive spike in sales. But you got to have the operational strength and stability to be able to handle that. So, you know, it's unfortunate that it happened, but hey, you know, it's a good lesson, and now, you know, moving forward, you know how to prevent that from happening in the future.
Yeah, I'd like to add that cash flow is so important. And when you come out of, you could get really excited, especially with Amazon, there's, you know, so many areas or categories you get into. But if you just launch too quick, what ends up happening is you don't have the chance to scale unless you have some really great funds behind you. But cash flow is tough. And one of the things that I recommend, Tim Francis has a course. He was on one of the podcasts called Know Your Numbers. Check it out. It's not expensive. We do have a discount for the group. So he takes like $500 off or something, but it's an 8 or 14 hour course on just understanding numbers and moving forward. And he does it in a way where it's not boring. So anyways, that's one thing that I could recommend. And then exactly like you said, you know, the other thing to this is if you launch too quickly, I tell my clients, I don't want, you know, 5 products to launch. I want 1 product to launch to see if my strategies are working. And if you launch 5, 10 products and your strategies suck, well, guess what? You know, you spend all that time having a great product, maybe, you know, having an okay description, spending all this money on PPC, because you don't have one honed in, they all collapse. So it's something to think about as well. I know it's really, you know, you want to get out there and get 10 products up, but a lot of times it's not the best decision.
Yeah, you don't need to, you know, overcomplicate the path to success. You want to keep it as simple as possible to get to that successful point.
Yeah. So, Kelsey, I noticed that there was a question from Michael Webster from the group.
Michael Webster.
Yeah.
Let me see. I might not have showed up yet.
This is something you sent over to me. You just said, Michael Webster had a question. I have a brand which I think resonates with parents. What is the solid formula to promote scale the brand?
The RM5 formula.
There we go.
But I mean, hey, he asked formula. So, I mean, but you know, it's again, just, it comes down to, so one of the key systems of the RM5 formula is that customer acquisition process. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you're selling, you know, whether you're selling a kid's product or whether you're selling flowers, you know, it doesn't matter. You just really need to identify why people buy your product and what marketing messaging works through testing, and then have a really good funnel with, you know, good ads, having those hooks, and a good sales page with your core offer, your flagship product, and making sure that that sales page is consistent and aligned with the ad messaging. So this way, when people click on the ad, go to the sales page, the messaging is consistent. They know why they're there. They see it in the messaging, and it encourages them to move forward. So it's really just about really creating like a good solid marketing message that people resonate with, and then finding those people as well through your targeting.
Great. What about mistakes? What do you see? What mistakes do you see sellers making when scaling?
So, you know, I think that, you know, mistakes, there's a number of different mistakes that I've seen. But for one, just knowing your numbers, you know, you have to know what your range is when it comes to KPIs and acquiring customers. Like, what can you afford to pay? What's your break even? And what's your ideal profit CPA? You also have to have the knowledge, like that's I've noticed with a lot of people in my coaching business that they join because they're lacking the knowledge of being able to market and advertise effectively, and so they want to shortcut the process of learning and getting to that successful result by working with me and applying my methodology as well. And then besides that, you know, just operationally too, like, you know, you have to really have like a good team in place to be able to really be able to scale. You know, you have to have a good ads manager. You have to have, you know, a good marketer on the back end when it comes to your copywriting, when it comes to your design, your implementation, or you have to learn those skills, you know, yourself, because you know, that could also restrict your ability to scale your business as well. So, I mean, you know, I would say like those are some of the mistakes that I've seen when it comes to scaling, especially over the last 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. And when you're getting those people, those experts, you have to have the proper training. You don't have the proper training, you're going to just, they're either going to get frustrated or you're going to get frustrated. And then you have to do the whole hiring process all over again. Yep. So it's really tough not to micromanage, but don't micromanage. That's one of the things, that's the biggest thing I can say is don't micromanage people. Let them make their own decisions.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever process you're following, like, you know, trust that process too. Follow through with that process. Like a lot of times, and I've been guilty of this too, you know, in my journey, but a lot of times people kind of bounce around from opportunity to opportunity to opportunity, and it doesn't get them very far. You know, if they were just to focus in on that one opportunity and really follow through with that commitment, that opportunity, that's where they're going to be able to see massive results. And instead of jumping around from decision to decision to decision, you know, trying to get their business to where they want it to be. It's not that complex. You know, it could be very, very simple. Like if someone joins my R5 Formula Accelerator and they put in the work and they implement and they lean on me for support and they get my help, which I give them basically over the shoulder help, whether it's technical or whether it's coaching, you know, they'll be able to get the results out of the program. They'll be able to at least double their business in 12 months. But if someone joins the program, doesn't have that mindset and, you know, has one foot in, one foot out, then, you know, it's going to be, you're not really invested into that and you don't have the right mindset to be able to grow your business.
Right. Action oriented.
Yep.
Yeah.
And committed for sure.
Right. Yeah, for sure. All right. Kels, any other questions?
So Egla had a comment about the work-life balance. So to balance life and work while having kids too, is to work 4 days a week because you won't rest on the weekends because you want to spend time with your kids. This realization struck me after being an entrepreneur for 15 plus years. So what is your experience balancing your work life situation?
Yeah, this is tough because, you know, I felt more guilty earlier when he was younger. Now he's 11, but I've always felt kind of guilty working when my son's around, my son's home, you know, after school, for example. When I was younger, or when he was younger, I mean, not me. I guess I was younger too. But anyway, when he was younger, you know, I was very good at cutting myself off around 5 or 6 p.m. so I could just spend time with him. You know, and now that he's older, you know, he's a little more independent. He does his own thing, you know, but he still values time with me. Like last night, for example, I finally just shut down and like disconnected from work and stopped thinking about it, which is hard. It's really hard for me to do. And I spent hours playing video games with him, you know, and, you know, and watching him get so frustrated every time he lost. So, and just laughing. But anyway, you know, it's tough. It's a tough juggling act, you know, trying to be the best parent you can be and trying to be there for your kid or kids. And at the same time, really focusing in on your business and your goals and what you want to accomplish, especially when you're intense and you're driven and you're really focused on it. You know, the best thing I can say is that in my experience, you know, there is no such thing as work-life balance. It's more work-life integration. And, you know, you have to accept the fact that work is always going to be a part of your life, you know, and yes, there are definitely some moments where you need to completely turn that off and focus, you know, on, you know, your kids. But it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be truly segmented. It's always going to be integrated on some level as a business owner. So, and it's about quality time. It's not about quantity time. You know, it's about getting, you know, good, solid quality time with your kids, as opposed to lots of time with your kids, in my opinion, as well.
Right. Yeah, that could be really tough. You know, yeah. It's you see this with a lot of entrepreneurs, and you get sorry, one sec. Of course that happens, but you do get caught up. You're passionate about your business. You're trying to grow your business, and oh, I just have to do this, and you know, I'll be with you. Oh, I just have to do this, and sometimes it just hits you in the head, going, oh, you know, I just blew off my kid. No, I got to stop now. You know, yeah. I got to stop now. And yeah. Like for us anyways, we built that stop usually around sports. You know, during the day, it was really tough because, you know, I was working. And but when it came to sports, that's when we, you know, drove out. We, you know, stopped. We got to go out. Kelsey, double cheeseburgers, right?
McDonald's. Yeah,
sharing our McDonald's experience many times. But, you know, you do have to take that break. And you said something, you know, that quality. I couldn't give quantity, but I could certainly give quality. And when we went on vacation, I mean, we went on vacation. We had a great time. We do all sorts of things. And that's where it was nothing. We had the systems in place where people would take care of 100% of everything. The only time I'd get a call is if it was absolutely urgent, and that never happened. So, you know, that's the other beautiful part of having SOPs or systems in place where you can go and enjoy that time with your family.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, over the last few years, things have been fairly systematized in my business where I've been able to, you know, take week-long vacations if I need to, you know, sometimes, you know, like last summer, one of my best memories of 2019 was I went out to Venice, California for 2 weeks. The first week I was there partially for business. I was there for a mastermind. And then my son flew in for the second week. And that second week, I didn't work at all. Like I completely disconnected. And we had, you know, some incredible times, you know, at the beach, you know, going to different places around LA and Venice and, you know, just having a blast. And, you know, it was cool. It was really cool to have, that time. And I couldn't have had that time if I didn't have a team that I could depend on and also right. processes that I had built or my team had built to be able to run the business sustainably without me.
So Kelsey, we're running up to the hour. Are there any other questions?
There are a couple Amazon focused questions. So I'm not sure, one I think is pretty general, that a sellers would want to know are Amazon going to lift the inventory restock restrictions?
Oh, that famous. Know? Okay. So I think it'll be a long time before you see that. And you have to live with it. So your inventory strategy just has to change, and the way that you send in your inventory and just monitoring. I think as long as you're monitoring the inventory, and it's very simple. Like if you've got the 200 unit restriction and you start getting sales, you know, rebates or influencers or wherever, you know, social media, whatever you do to get sales, you're going to see the restrictions start to move up very quickly. So you can get that 200 to 300 to 500 to 700 very quickly. The trick is getting Amazon, the product to Amazon, so you can add it to inventory. So just kind of keep that in mind, is that monitored. If you have to do two or three or four or five different shipping plans, you know, every other day, take a look at that, you know, but we can definitely dig into that a little bit deeper. But I think they're here to stay for a while.
Okay, so I believe that's all the time we have for now.
Okay.
If we can start wrapping up.
Well, I do have one more question for Josh.
Yeah, go ahead, Norm.
What's your passion for 2021?
Well, simple. Helping a brand scale, whether it's brands in my coaching business or brands that I own. That's all I'm focused on in 2021. That and, you know, just, you know, taking the next step in my own personal kind of evolution, you could say,
yep.
and just continuing to work on myself as well.
Very good. So if people wanted to get a hold of you for either your course, what's the course called? ARM5.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I wouldn't call it a course. It's more of a mentorship. If anything, there is definitely a course type element to it, but it's more of a mentorship program. But yeah, my 12-month mentorship program is called the ARM5 Formula Accelerator. People can find out more about it by texting ARM5 to 938-444-8045 or going to www.arm5formula.com. We have a basic landing page there right now, and we'll have an actual full-fledged kind of personal branding website very soon live for 2021. Mm-hmm. But the fastest way to find out more, if you really want to scale your brand up to 7-8 figures as fast as possible, and you feel like that you need some help with your marketing, your advertising, and really shortcutting the process, then I would just recommend texting ARM5 to 938-444-8045. And I did also mention to you privately that if anybody did book a call with me in the first week of 2021 from this, that I would give them a $4,000 discount for the program if they decide to sign up, as long as they booked a call from the during the first week of 2021.
Very good. All right, sir. Well, thank you so much. You know what? I hope I can get you on a few more times. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah,
we just got to sync up our schedules, right?
Yep, totally, totally, totally. And I'll be working with you very soon as well, you know, on the Amazon side with several brands that I co-own.
Perfect. All right, Josh. Well, thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you later.
Okay. All right, bye.
All right, everybody. So thanks a lot for joining us today. Kelsey, where are you?
Hello, hello.
See, I told you. Josh is one of these, like, we've had some incredible guests in 2020. Josh is one of these guys that, you know, he's so humble. And if you go and check out that course or the mentoring program, you're only going to grow. You know, it's such a cool program, knowing Josh, you know, and knowing what he can do for companies. But anyways, he's a solid guy. All right. So what do you got to say?
All right. So I know you guys had a bunch of different recommendations for books. And so yesterday I actually made a little forum on our group page to go over any books that any of our members loved that changed the way they looked at their business. So if you guys go to the Facebook group, you'll be able to find a full list. I think we have like about 15 to 20 books from all of our different members there recommending these different books. So I think it's a great resource.
Yeah, I took a look. There's some great books there.
Yeah, like Profit First, The E-Myth, tons of different things. I think Marina, she put about 5 or 6 in herself, which is awesome to see.
We should ask, you know who we should ask about that too? Carlo. Send an email to Carlo Alvarez and ask him what his 5 favorite books are. He's got a book club. And in case you're interested, we could actually post that link for his book club, which is fantantastic. All right. So for Friday, yes, we're going to be doing this Friday on New Year or January 1st. And I suckered one of my guys, Athalabi. A lot of you guys already know him, but he's the president of Honu Worldwide to come on. And we're going to be talking about something really cool. And if you don't know about HTS codes, get on, share this link, because HTS codes, if you do it properly, will save you tons of money. If you do it wrong, you could pay through the nose. So Athalabi is going to go through very specific, detailed information about what to look for, how to do it, and what you might be missing out on. So Athalabi Oricon is going to be on Friday. And if he's listening, thanks. It was hard to do somebody for New Year's Day.
I found someone.
Yes, we did. All right. So I think that's it.
Yeah.
We're done. Right.
So yeah, if you guys, again, if you guys wouldn't mind writing a review on Apple Podcasts, that would be amazing. We'll block off a little time and like share a review every day, maybe into the new year. And also, we're making new templates. So if you guys look today on YouTube, you'll see a brand new template for today's episode. So let us know what you think. And yeah, Happy New Year's, everyone. We'll see you
yes.
in 2021.
Happy 2021. So remember, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time to tune in to Lunch with Norm. Thanks for watching and enjoy the rest of your day. Lunch with Norm.